Hey mom, does this sound familiar? You encourage your daughter to read her Bible and she says something like,
Mom, I don't get it.
It's so boring.
I don't have time, Mom. We get it. Sometimes getting her to love God's word seems impossible.
That's exactly why we created the True Girl Pop-Up Party Weekend for you.
It's a whole weekend designed to break through those barriers. Friday night kicks it off with worship and a Bible teaching to put you in the driver's seat of the conversation.
Saturday morning, you'll dive into God's Word together in a mom-daughter workshop, and she'll learn the 4Z method of Bible study created for girls her age.
It's fun and it's faith building. You'll worship together, you'll learn together, and mom, you'll leave ready to build her faith like never before.
I'm Dana Gresh.
And I'm Shani McKenzie. And we want to hang with you.
We're coming to California, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. We'd love to see you at the True Girl Pop-Up Party.
Welcome to the True Girl Momcast, where we'll learn a lot, laugh a little, and have biblical conversation about raising daughters, because motherhood is hard. But guess what? You are not alone. I'm Shani McKenzie, and I'll be joined by my friend Dana Gresh. What if your daughter thinks she's a Christian, but she's not? A few years ago, True Girl founder Dana Gresh surveyed 1,500 church-going girls. 22% who claimed to be believers didn't actually understand what it means to be a Christian. They believed a few very specific lies about what it means to be a believer. What are they? Does your daughter believe any of them? Today, we want to replay a powerful conversation originally released on Revive Our Hearts. Dana Gresh was interviewed by Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth. And in this conversation, they reveal some of the lies girls believe about salvation and discuss how to measure the true readiness to follow Jesus. As always, we want to put you in the driver's seat of the most important talk you'll ever have. Hey, before I set you loose to listen to this must-hear conversation, can I ask you to pray for the ministry of True Girl in the next few weeks? As we approach our fiscal year end, we're asking God to provide $200,000 to begin our new year poised to continue to provide great research and content like what you're about to hear. We ask you to join us praying for this need. And if you feel led, you can give at mytruegirl.com. Here's Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth interviewing Dana.
Today we're going to delve into some of the lies that you found that these girls were believing. But before we do, just give us a picture of who these girls were who took this survey.
Sure. Well, we believe that most of them were from evangelical homes. 51% were public schooled girls, 30% homeschooled, and 16% private Christian school, small, a little bit of them went to other types of school. And most of them claimed to be Christian. And that's where, Nancy, we hit the first of what may be the three most dangerous lies.
Now, you actually identified 20 lies total. So why did you pick out those three as being particularly dangerous?
Because I read Lies Women Believe by my friend Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
And what did it say?
It said that the most dangerous lies we believe are the ones we believe about God, because the truth we believe about God determines the truth we believe about everything else.
Yeah, that really is true. What we believe about God is so foundational. So you were saying that the first lie that you identified had to do with these girls claiming to be Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We very quickly identified that 22% of the girls who claimed to be Christian didn't understand what it meant to be one.
And how did you identify that?
Well, in the comments, they said things like, I'm a Christian because I go to church, or I'm a Christian because my mom and dad are, or I was born a Christian, or I've always been one. So one of the lies is, I am a Christian because fill in the blank.
And it's not just girls who have misunderstandings about what it means to be a Christian. It's teen girls, it's women, it's older people as well. So the truth, of course, that counters that lie is that we're a Christian if we repent of our sin, believe in Christ, trust Him as our Savior. And both you and I experienced a genuine work of the Spirit in our hearts when we were little girls. At the same time, I think in our generation, there have been some who, wanting to see children know Christ, have prematurely prompted children to, quote, make a decision to follow Jesus when there wasn't necessarily a work of the Spirit happening in their hearts yet. This is where parents and other people who are working with children, as you do in your girls and moms events, you have to be so sensitive to what is a spirit doing in that child's heart. Mm-hmm. First of all, there has to be a conviction of sin. And the child may not even know that word conviction, but I think a parent can sense when there's a sense of, I'm sinful. Mm-hmm. I need to be rescued from my sin. And I think you want to let that grow. You want to let that sit. You want to let that soberness, whether it's a child or an adult. Somebody can't experience the amazing grace of Christ or the saving work of Christ if they don't know that they have anything to be saved from.
Right.
So just to say, you know, I can walk in a room of four-year-olds and I can say, anybody here who wants to be a Christian, wants to be saved, wants to follow Jesus, raise your hand. Okay, now you all are saved. And of course, I'm exaggerating to make a point that I think we need to be really careful, mm-hmm. whether it's with children or any age. Mm-hmm. Is there evidence that the Spirit of God is doing a work of drawing them to Christ, convicting them of their sin, giving them a repentant heart? And I think that work happens more often in a younger heart where there's been a lot of conversation about the Lord, mm-hmm. where there's been evangelizing going on, that we're talking about the gospel, we're illustrating it, we're reading scripture, parents are talking about how they have come to know Jesus. And in that context, it is not unusual, I think, for a child to realize, I need a Savior.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to trust Christ to save me. I'm ready to turn from my sin.
Nancy, you saying that is helping me to remember that my son, I walked into the bedroom. He was very small, maybe 6 or 7 years old, and he was kneeling. And I said, Robbie, what are you doing? And he said, oh, Mom, I just realized that I've done a lot of bad things, and that's why Jesus died for me. And he was in the bedroom.
That's the work of the Spirit.
He was in the bedroom basically praying for Christ to come be the Lord of his life all by himself. But it was because of conversation upon conversation upon conversation, lessons at church, lessons from his dad, reading the Bible that brought him to that place of repentance.
I had a little girl, sweet little girl in my life, call me. Her dad was driving her home from a church prayer meeting they had that night not too many months ago, and she called me on the way home, and she said, Yaya, tonight I gave my life to Jesus.
She calls you Yaya.
She calls me Yaya. This is little Addie Grace.
And, how precious.
She had been at prayer meeting that night with her parents, sitting on her mom's lap. She's 7 or 8. I think she was 7 at the time. And God had been working in her heart. She had been seeing her sinfulness. She had been seeing her need for a Savior. And that night in that prayer meeting, she turned to her mom. She started crying, and she said, Mom, I need to give my heart to Jesus.
How beautiful.
And so her parents had evangelized her, but they didn't press her to, quote, make a decision.
Exactly.
And I think, so don't be in a hurry. Mm-hmm. Don't push it. What I saw often as I was growing up was kids who grew up in church, they grew up in Christian school, they made a profession of faith when they were 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, whatever. And then they became teenagers or young adults, and there was no evidence of a love for Christ, no evidence of a heart for Christ, no heart to follow Christ. And yet their parents would say, oh, but she's a Christian. She got saved when she was 4. Don't pronounce your children saved. Don't pronounce anybody saved.
Yeah.
We don't know till the evidence, the fruit is there.
It needs to be a testimony that comes from their lips.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I think that there's a concern, though, that I saw for some of these moms with older girls, 12, 13, and 14, who were not pressuring their children to, quote, unquote, make a decision. But
saying they're not old enough.
They're not old enough. Holding them back when these several of the moms were saying, my daughter really wants to be baptized. And I would say, well, has she demonstrated repentance? And they would say, yes, but I just don't think she's ready to be baptized. So what would you say to those moms at the other end of the spectrum?
Well, and again, you've got to pray for wisdom. In the church where I grew up as a little girl, they had a policy that if you were saved as a child, you couldn't be baptized for a year. They wanted to see. So I was baptized at the age of 5, standing on an egg crate carton thing in the baptistry. Some churches ask children to be older than that, or they have a process that children go through. And I think that's not a bad thing, but there comes a point when you say what Jesus said, let the little children come. When you see evidence of faith, evidence of repentance, evidence of fruit, don't keep them back.
So I would say, I guess, this to every mom, grandma listening is just make sure you're having those conversations that open your daughter and your sons to an understanding of the gospel. If we're not continually having those conversations and making sure they understand, oh, you're not a Christian because mom and dad are. You're not a Christian because you go to church every Sunday. You're not a Christian because you were born that way. That's
not how
it works.
You're not a Christian because you, quote, prayed a prayer or made a decision. You're a Christian because the Holy Spirit has drawn you to Christ. And you may not know all these words. He's regenerated you. He's justified you. You may not know all those words. You probably won't. But there's evidence that the Spirit has given you new life in Christ and that you're trusting Him to save you.
I'm so excited because one little girl who took our survey recognized that she wasn't a Christian and went straight to her mom. I shared this earlier in the week, and her mom recognized this daughter of mine is ready. This is God's Spirit on her saying, this is the time. Yeah. But that doesn't happen unless you're giving her the information so that her heart can respond to the Spirit.
And you've seen God work in the hearts of moms as well.
You know, one of my favorite stories happened at True Woman. As we were in Indianapolis, we gave out samplers of this beautiful book. I'm so excited about how that. Isn't it beautiful, Nancy?
It is amazing. It's colorful. It's fun. It's creative.
I said, if something's done for Jesus, it should be done with excellence. And I set out to be able to put this book on a shelf in the tween section of a secular bookstore and for someone to walk by and say, this looks as good as all the rest. This looks awesome and fun. So illustrations, color. So anyway, we handed out samplers of this at True Woman. And a mom walked up to me and said, I've read the sampler last night in my hotel room. I'm so excited for this book. But my daughter has dyslexia, and I'm going to have to read it to her because she won't be able to read it on her own. And I said, really? Because as I was writing this book, God put it on my heart to include the testimony of a girl named Jenna whose life was dramatically changed with the diagnosis of dyslexia in this book. And I began to tell her the story of how Jenna believed the lies that her life wasn't valuable or she wasn't smart or she didn't have a good purpose of God because she had dyslexia, and how God used His word to restore truth to her heart. And this mom burst into tears and said, this book has already rescued my heart. I haven't even read it yet. I've been praying that the Lord would help my daughter who's suffering with dyslexia believe that her life has purpose, and what you've just told me.
What a gift.
What
a gift
just
to that
what
mom.
I need to hear.
What a gift to her little girl. Well, one of the neat features in this book is a character that you developed named Zoe, and you've developed stories about Zoe that draw these young readers into some content that might otherwise be a little difficult to navigate. Tell us a little bit about Zoe.
Well, for a daughter to read a book with biblical content and advice at the age of 9 to 12 might be difficult unless there's a character with a narrative and a story guiding her through it. So Zoe has a lot of problems. One of the first problems is she's really tempted to download this app that her parents have told her not to. As the narrative goes, she makes a decision and she does download the app and doesn't tell her parents. And so she verbalizes things the way a 12-year-old might to your daughter, the readers, and they get to advise her with the biblical truth that they've learned in each chapter. It's my goal that these girls would develop the skill of speaking truth to a friend as they learn the truth for themselves. So, let me just let Zoe speak for herself for a moment.
Hi, I'm Zoe. My name means life. I'm glad that whole thing with the app is over. I do feel better since you helped me think about the truth. But I have a question. Is God mad at me? I know He loves me, but it feels like He may be far away because of what I did. Does He love me even when I do something bad?
And Dana, there's a reason you included that problem, because you discovered that girls in your survey were believing the lie that God only loves me when I'm good, which, by the way, is a lie that isn't believed just by girls, but by a lot of us. How widespread did you find that lie was among girls?
Well, you know what? I didn't find this one to be the most widespread, but it's certainly very lethal. It drives a girl to really a lifetime of a works-based faith. It drives her away from God. And it seems to me, if the gospel is about Christ's love, then what we believe about God's love is really important. So the majority of girls we surveyed said they believed God loves them, but they just didn't feel like God loved them when they did something bad.
Sometimes I think God doesn't love me when my behavior is bad to my parents or friends.
Sometimes when I disobey, it's hard to believe he loves me.
I feel like he's not there when I'm not good enough.
No one needs to know about my sin in order for me to stop.
And of course, no matter what age we are when we believe those kinds of lies, it keeps us from receiving the grace that God wants to give us. We think we have to do something or perform to receive God's love, rather than realizing that God's love is a gift of his grace, something we can't earn or deserve. So, Dana, you were really careful not only to lay out the lies in this book, but to set up the truth. How did you verbalize the truth for girls about this area?
Well, for each lie, there's a truth nugget, which is a Bible verse, and the truth nugget for this one was from Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it wasn't when we were having our good day and our holiest moments that God loved us, but while we were sinners, he loved us and he died for us. So the truth for the girls is God loves you all the time, no matter what. And I remembered as I was writing this, a time when my sweet son Robbie almost burned our house down.
Wasn't so sweet in that moment.
Oh, not at that moment, no. He came into the kitchen and he said, "Mom, do you have a cup of water?" And it's about then that I smelled something. I thought, okay, and I ran into the living room, and he had gotten a blanket into a candle that I had lit. And I remember being overwhelmed with love for my son at that moment. You know, I didn't think he was bad. He had played with something he had been told not to play with. He had disobeyed me. But I immediately responded in protective love for him. I tell lots of stories in the book because I think that's how this age group will learn best. But I want them to know God loves you all the time, no matter what. And moms, you know, I just feel led to say that if there's a sin that you're struggling with in your life to believe, does God love me? Yes. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He loves you all the time, no matter
what. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound, right?
Oh, Mom, I hope you heard that. God loves you. That was Dana being interviewed by Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth about her book, Lies Girls Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. You can get a copy of that book and the Mom's Guide to Lies Girls Believe at mytruegirl.com or wherever books are sold. Hey, we're only 2 weeks away from our summer Holy Girl Walk. Mark your calendars for June 2nd. Last summer, hundreds of moms and daughters joined us from around the globe to walk and memorize scripture. This summer, we're diving into Psalm 30. We'll kick the walk off on June 2nd right here on the podcast as we discuss how to help your daughter navigate grief and disappointment. Psalm 30 could be her lifelong map to joy. Hope you'll join us. If you're planning to join us for the Holy Girl Walk, we've got something special to help your daughter enjoy every step of the journey. It's your last chance to get the True Girl Wellness Box, and at the heart of it is the Holy Girl Walk Map, created to guide her as she walks and memorizes Psalm 30 with you. The box also includes fun fitness tools like a water bottle and jump rope, plus daily devotionals to help her discover what God's Word says about her body and why it matters. Subscribe today at mytruegirl.com to get your box just in time for summer and our official Holy Girl Walk starting June 2nd.